Thank you very much, and welcome everybody here after a lot of tillage and cover crops, something about organic plant nutrition. The presentation is about fermented foliar liquid fertilizers, also called fermented liquid fertilizers. This is a product which is made of anaerobically fermented plant and animal residues. There can be minerals added to this, these fertilizers. It is used for direct plant nutrition, and this is the difference to the so-called biofertilizers, which are more used to activate the soil, while these fermented liquid fertilizers focus more on nourishing the plants directly. What is interesting about these products is that they can be produced on farm, and therefore they are in a substantial contribution to increase the sustainability of the production systems. What is it, what is this like? You can use every kind of barrel, which must be hermetically closed, and you connect a tube to it so that the gases can escape. It is important to mention that this is a very, very popular technique in many South American countries, and but there's very few research about it. So we are getting digging a little bit deeper now in this in these issues, finding out first of all whether this technique is useful, and second of all whether how it works. Which are the basic resources of these fermented foliar fertilizers? Well, you have four basic ingredients. These are sources of nutrients and microorganisms, sources of energy, fermentation activators, and water. Sources of additional sources of organic matter and minerals are optional. For nutrients and microorganisms, cow manure or cattle manure is the common ingredient. Some people in Latin America use also chicken dung, then it's obviously not possible for certified organic farming. If you prefer to use plant resources, then stinging nettle may be an option as sources of energy. Molasses are very common, the most common ingredient, or they can be substituted by raw sugar. Or what we which we also use there is pulque, which is an alcoholic drink from Mexico, which is fermented agave juice. Then for the fermentation activator, fresh cow milk is essential for the lactobacillus inside there. An additional measure can be corn cobs. Water is obviously essential. Rainwater is common. You can use rock flour as a source of minerals, or simply ash. On which crops did we try it? This was a polycropping system with fava bean, corn, and squash. This is a slight modification of the classical Mesoamerican milpa system, where there would be ordinary bean together with corn and squash. We opted for the fava bean. Why did we center on polycropping systems? We are what we would like to offer for our producers there is particularly a complete package, sustainable package, which is not only limited to nutrition, but also sustainable in many contexts. And as everybody knows, polycropping systems increase the resilience to external perturbations. They also activate the soils, create favorable pest dynamics, and improve soil covering, and therefore prevent erosion and also evaporation. And generally, especially with this combination, they always provide higher yield than the monocropping versions. Which were our objectives? Well, the objectives were to were to compare different fermented foliar fertilizers, also to compare them with a more conventional organic strategy. Where was this done? This was done in Mexico and close to Mexico City, in a city called Toluca. There the climate is relatively cold for Mexico, with an average temperature of about 13 degrees. And this is because of the altitude of more than 2,600 meters. And the experiment was done in the year 2016. We used the randomized block system with a standard statistical measurement. And the six treatments we compared, first of all, a control treatment with no additional fertilization measures, then a classic organic strategy with solid compost, and then four different foliar fertilizers, one which is the standard recipe, and then three modification, one with this bulke, then another one with stinging nettle, and a fourth one with fruit waste. Our idea is to use the resources we have there. For example, this is not a region where sugar cane is produced, so we are not using molasses. We want to establish a production system exclusively based on local resources. This is the combination we used for the standard recipe, which is the most popular one: cow manure, ash, brown sugar instead of the molasses, milk, corn stalks are not optional but useful, and water. In the second one, we used this fermented agave cactus juice, yeast, oat bran and straw, charcoal and soil and rainwater. The third one, with the stinging nettle, was based on milk, beer, stinging nettle, corn stubbles, and forestal soil. And finally, the last one with fruit yeast, and in the other, referring to the other ingredients, it was very similar to the standard version. And the bokashi, which is maybe some of you might know, which was based on a standard recipe with sheep manure, unrefined brown sugar, corn stubbles, corn stalks, forestal soil, charcoal, and yeast. So what did we find out about the properties of these treatments? BO stands for the bokashi, the solid organic amendment, and B1 to B4 are the other four fermented foliar fertilizers, B1 the standard recipe. B2 is the one with the bulke. Here it's very, very notable the high pH of this version, of 9.2, and there's also a very high nitrogen content. The third one is the one with the stinging nettle, which has a very high organic matter content and a relative moderate salinity. Just a few words about the general management there. We used local land dresses. The management was rain-fed. In all plots, we gave an initial fertilization of 10 tons per hectare rotted horse manure. And the planting density was 20,000 plants per hectare for the corn and the fava bean, and 5,000 for the squash. Let's go to the results. Well, this is very interesting. B2, this is the version with the bulke, provided the highest land equivalent ratio. This is an indicator to compare the yield of polycropping systems to monocropping systems. It was also very, very notable that all foliar treatments overperformed the use of bokashi, the standard organic measure. Especially B3 was the one with the stinging nettle, was interesting because it provided the highest fava bean yield. But And this is very interesting for us. Only two of these treatments provided a yield or a viability of the plants higher than 90%. This means that the other two treatments apparently had a negative impact on the physiology of the plants. And P3 with the stinging nettle also provided the heaviest pods. Here, comparing the yields of the three components of the polycropping system, you can see that V2 with the pulque was the most successful treatment for corn. P3 was the most successful one for fava bean, and for squash it was the standard recipe here called B1. Only B2 provided a land equivalent ratio higher than 1. This means that 1 hectare of this polycropping system provides about the same amount as if there would 1.2 hectares of any of these crops in monocropping. So this a favorable value for this land equivalent ratio is always when it's higher than 1. Going a little bit to the data related to the fava bean, as already mentioned, P3 was most successful in terms of total yield, also for a plant height and number of leaves per plant. As already mentioned, only two treatments, which were the control treatment and this B3 treatment, provided a high viability of the plants. This is something very notable on this on our research, and the fresh pod weight was definitely higher with this treatment using the stinging nettle. Going to the conclusions, we could find out, first of all, polygrouping arrangement makes sense. It's very useful. The use of these fermented foliar fertilizers provides higher yield than the use of conventional organic plant nutrition strategies, especially the one with pulque provides the highest total output of all three crops. This is probably because of its high nitrogen content, which particularly favored the corn production. But the treatment with the stinging nettle provide the highest fava bean yield, and there we think this is related to the low salinity of the product. The other ones had a higher salinity, which may probably had a negative impact on the output of the fava bean. Also, the high organic matter content is an indicator for a satisfactory fermentation process. This is something we are we're digging deeper this year with a microbiological analysis of these fertilizers. This is something obvious we are doing now related to this research. And therefore, I would like to thank you for your attention. Thank you very much. And the question was related to the herbicide. We did not detect any of this effect. If the fermentation process is complete and satisfactory, then you avoid these problems at all, as well as biological contamination with coli bacteria or something. This is not found, but it requires a complete fermentation process. Any other questions? Yeah, this is a very good question. We know that the question was related to the nitrogen-fixing legume, the fava bean, and the nitrogen consumption. We saw in the results that the most productive variant was with the treatment B2, which was with the pulque,
And but this this variant favored the corn yield but did not favor the fava bean yield. And we think this is because it stimulated a very quick vegetative growth of the corn, which did not leave that much space for the fava bean. So this is always something very tricky when you deal with polycropping systems. So you cannot only limit to one crop, but you must always get the big picture. Yeah, thank you. I think one more question. We're technically out of time, so this is the last thing there. Thank you very much.